beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'd like to welcome you all here and thank you for coming. I'd like to welcome those who are watching us on Facebook Live. That too is a blessing for us. You know, looking at that video, it kind of reminds us the Lord don't make no junk. His stuff isn't meant for the scrapyard. So don't let the world define who you are. Jesus has already defined who you are. And you are a child of God. Though unperfect, the Lord accepts that. And he still loves us and he still blesses us. And he still reminds us that we are his child. So don't let nobody tell you that you're junk. Don't let the world or Satan try to remind you of your mistakes. You know what? The Lord already knows the mistakes you're going to make this afternoon. He already knows the mistakes you're going to make tomorrow. And he's already planned for it. Because he allows us to seek his forgiveness and he redeems us each and every day. Redemption isn't a one and done thing. He redeems us daily through his grace and his love and his mercy. Amen? So don't let the devil or anybody else tell you that you're not worthy. None of us are worthy, but Jesus says he didn't make no junk. So today, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 119, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is, we have, or there is, no room for compromise. No room for compromise when it comes to serving the Lord. Amen? But yet, throughout time, that's exactly what man does. And there's many reasons why he does it. So to compromise is to make a concession or an accommodation for someone who does not agree with a prevalent set of standards or rules. So if somebody that don't necessarily agree with you, and we all probably know, well, I'm sure we all know somebody who doesn't believe or agree with our belief in Jesus Christ. That's okay. But the thing that we have to be careful about and be cautious about is that we don't compromise our belief to pacify them. Amen? It's a slippery slope. It's a dangerous thing when we start compromising at all. So let's look and see what does the God's Word say about compromise. So Psalms chapter 119, verses 1 through 4 reads like this. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole hearts, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. So that tells me anyway that the Bible says and makes it clear that God does not compromise. When it comes to his word, his will, our faith, our trust, there cannot be any compromise. His standards describes people of righteousness, those who are totally subservient to God's will and wholeheartedly devoted in their relationship to him. We do not yield to or permit any deviation from his word. If you looked at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, you shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. You can take that literal. God says, don't be changing my stuff. It's done perfectly. I don't need your help. You know, he didn't need a copywriter or a script guy or anybody else to proofread his stuff like I do. He's telling us it's perfect. It's perfect for his plan. It's perfect for our lives. It's perfect for the sinner's salvation. It's perfect to show us how to live like Christ, and it's even perfect in how it tells us the end of the story. He don't need no help. And so he lets us know in no uncertain terms, don't mess with my stuff. But yet we try. We try. We'll try and take this verse and put it with this verse and twist it and turn it to where it says what we want. And when we do that, we are compromising God's word. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. When we start messing with God's word, not a good thing. That's something that we definitely don't want to do, amen? But yet we do it. So how do we keep from messing up God's word? It's very simple. We have to know it. We have to know the context of what it says. And so how do we know the context? For me, what I do is I never read just one verse and try to figure out what that one verse is telling me. I've learned for me that I got to read about three or four verses above it, three or four verses below it, and then I'm able to get a better understanding and context of what the Lord's trying to tell me. So reading just one verse and trying to determine what the Lord is showing us doesn't work very often. So secondly, I want to talk about what happens when we do compromise. When we do compromise God's will, His word, our faith, our trust, what happens? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 tells us, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen? You can't serve God and money, but you also can't serve God in this world. You can't serve God in your flesh. You can't serve God in your own desires. You can't serve God in your own wants. Serving God is like nothing else that we do. There's nothing else that really takes 100% of our time, our attention. How many of us can honestly say that when we're at work, we're giving it 100% of our attention all the time? I ought to be raising my hand, huh? But I can't because I don't always give 100% of my time or my thoughts. But when it comes to serving God, the only way that we can keep from compromising is to constantly be focused on Him. Well, brother, how can we constantly be focused on God all the time? It doesn't have to be so much with our thought as it is with our heart and our spirit. The Holy Spirit can communicate with us through our spirit all day long and not interfere with the worldly things that we must do, like our jobs and taking care of our families. We can still do these things and not compromise. So compromising in the text that we're looking at today is nothing more than sin. The way we're looking at compromise today, when we do it, we're doing nothing more than sinning. When we compromise with the world, when we compromise with the flesh, when we compromise with our wants and our desires, we're sinning. And what does sin do to our relationship with the Lord? It drives a wedge in there. It separates. It starts to separate our closeness with God. And there's nothing more than Satan wants to see than a Christian's relationship start to crumble and spread apart from the Lord. I don't like to give him credit, and so I don't. I just give warning that he'll do these things just for he can separate us from the Lord. Amen. So, one of the prime examples of what happens when we compromise is found in 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27 tells us of David. At this point in David's life, he's running from Saul. He knows Saul's out to get him, and he's fearful for his life. He's scared. And so what does he do? Instead of putting his faith and his trust in God, even though God had done some miraculous things, he already allowed David to be used to kill a giant and all kinds of things. So what does David do? Out of fear, he runs to God's enemy, the Philistines, seeking refuge with God's enemy, seeking refuge with the enemy that seeks to destroy his kinsmen and his country. So he goes to the king of the Philistines and says, "Look, let me hang out here with you for a while and give me a place for me and my men to camp, and we'll do right by you." So what does that initially do to God? The Philistines, a lot of them seen what David did to Goliath, and it made a lot of them believe that this God that David and the Israelites spoke about must be true and all-powerful. But what's David doing? He's running to his enemy seeking protection instead of seeking God and his plan. Because you know what God was doing during this time? He was preparing David's kingdom. He was getting everything set for David to become the king of Israel. But see, all out of fear, David lost faith and trust in the Lord. And so to kind of give you an idea how when we start to compromise, if we're not careful, it'll start to snowball and we'll continue to compromise this and this and this and this. And so David, to keep the Philistine king happy, he went down into settlements and he raided them. And he killed every living thing, man, woman, and child. And he did this out of fear that one of them might live and go back to the king of the Philistines and report that David had attacked them. And the reason David feared that, because he told the king that he was attacking settlements in Judea. He was attacking Jews, when in fact he was attacking the enemy of the Jews. So he's gone from fear causing him to go to the enemy of God, and then he had to kill women and children to cover up the lie that he told the king of Israel or the king of the Philistines about who he was actually attacking. And that caused him to kill women and children. So you see the point I'm making here? All because he compromised his faith and trust in God. And then, you know, it's kind of like that. You tell a lie, then you got to tell another lie to cover that lie, and you got to tell another lie to cover that lie until pretty soon you can't remember which lie you told last. And so David, man after God's own heart, and this wasn't the only time David compromised. We read in Scripture where he fell in love with a married woman, sent her husband off to battle hoping he'd be killed. So, but then over time, David came to see what this compromise was costing not only him, but his relationship with God and God himself. So there's, you know, we say all the time that there's consequences to our actions, either good or bad. And each time we compromise God's word or his calling or his direction, I promise you it's not going to turn out good. But when we refuse to compromise, then God can use us to do wonderful things. He can use us to glorify him. He can use us to bless others. And so often we forget what a privilege it is that God would even entrust us with any of this at all. He's allowed us to be a part of his world. He's allowed us to be a part of His blessings. And so often we forget it or we take it for granted. Another perfect example of compromise was Peter. The Lord Himself said, look, you're going to denounce me. You're going to say that you didn't even know me 3 times before the rooster crows. What does Peter say? Not me. Maybe one of these lesser disciples. But there's no way, Lord, that I'm going to do this. Jesus gets arrested, and out of fear, you see, fear plays a big part in our compromise. And so Jesus gets arrested, and Peter says, oh, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. And then all of a sudden, the rooster crows. And Peter's reminded of what the Lord told him. So in that moment, Peter went from being a follower of Christ, going all over the place with Jesus, telling everybody that would listen that Jesus is the Messiah, He's the Son of God, He's here to save us, and then out of fear denounces all of it. What's that they say? You can do 1,000 things right and do 1 thing wrong, and all anybody's ever going to remember is the 1 thing you did wrong. So imagine what Peter's compromise cost in Jesus' work to those that heard him denouncing. And then Judas, at the same time, sells Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. He compromised our Lord and Savior out of greed. But what happened to him? Conviction overtook him. He threw the money on the street, and then he hung himself. Compromise got him nowhere. But see, the Lord is gracious, and the Lord is forgiving, because we see in the book of John, at the end of the book of John, where Jesus restores Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord. And the Lord said, tend to my sheep. So he gave Peter the responsibility that when he was gone, that Peter was going to become one of the shepherds of the flock. Even after Peter had confessed or said that he did not compromise his knowing Jesus Christ. And so Peter was redeemed, and he was put back in good favor with the Lord, and the Lord was going to use him. And then Jesus goes and takes it a step further, and he tells him how he's going to die. And then Peter messes up again, because he looks at John, the one that Jesus loved, and said, what about him? Again, he was concerned about somebody else instead of listening to what Jesus was telling him. If we stay focused on the Lord and not worried about finding gossip on our neighbor or our co-workers, then there's a good chance that we will not compromise. The unhealthy art of the compromise, it always ends with more compromise and more lies. But the saddest thing is that it ends up leading us into compromising our faith and our biblical values. And when we start compromising those two things, our relationship with the Lord, instead of growing, starts decaying. And so we can't afford to compromise even just a little. Because if we're willing to do it a little over time, it's going to become a lot. Until our separation will make us believe that there is no going back and we're just going to give up. And then we give up, we're no good to ourselves, we're no good to our families, and we definitely are no good to the Lord. He can't use us if we don't have a relationship, amen? Thirdly, how do we refrain from compromising? How do we keep from compromising. If you look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the word, and not according to Christ." 1 Peter says it like this in verse 15, "But in your heart honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." So Paul was worried about the Colossians because they were in a spiritual battle. And so he was telling them, don't let man deceive you. Don't let the world deceive you in believing something other than what the Word of God is telling you. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful in what you believe. So it's vital that we know God's Word. That way we know when we're being tricked, and we know when we're being spoke to by a false prophet. We cannot know the difference if we do not know God's Word. So one way to keep us from compromising ourselves is be in God's Word. Learn God's Word. Live God's Word. God's Word is the focal point in keeping us from compromising. And then Peter says that we should have a defense to give to anyone who might ask us, why do you believe in this Christ so much? The word for that is apologetics. The first time I've seen that word, I'm confused. I'm thinking, why do I need to apologize for my belief in Jesus Christ? But the Lord blessed me, and the church has blessed me and allowed me to go to school. And I took a class on apologetics because I wanted to figure out why I need to apologize for my belief. And it turns out that apologetics is nothing more than having a defense for why you believe what you believe about Christ, God, and His Word. So if I was to walk up to you right now and ask you, why do you believe so much? Do you have an answer? And I promise you this, if you say because the Bible says so, you might as well just keep on walking, because they're not going to have a clue at what you're talking about. So if you don't have an answer to that question, I encourage you to seek guidance from the Lord and pray about it and let the Lord give you your answer. Because one day, you, if you have not already, somebody's going to ask you, why do you believe so much? I had it happen to me 2 weeks ago from a family member. Why do you believe so much? Well, after taking the class and understanding the importance of apologetics and having a defense, I thought and I prayed about it, and it's pretty simple. I believe what I believe because of what God has done in my life. How He has changed things and turned things, and what He's done in others' lives. And I've seen things take place that have no explanation. But basically, my response is, especially if it's somebody that used to know me, you remember this? Look at me today and see if you see a change. That change isn't anything I did. It's something that only the Lord could do. And so there is my answer. And so have a defense. Have an answer to that question, because if you don't, then their thought is going to be, why should I bother about learning about this God or this Jesus when this so-called Christian can't even tell me why they believe? And that will also help us when we're confronted with temptation, or we're confronted with desires to compromise God's Word or God's will. We can always revert back to our defense. And that will help us to not compromise God. Amen? So it's very important that we have an answer to that question. We must be aware of things that may cause us to compromise. In 2 Timothy verses 4, or chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, and I'm just paraphrasing here, when we fail to accept the word, amen? When we fail to accept God's word in its totality, that it is complete authoritative in our authority in our life. If we do not accept all of it, and that blows my mind. There are a lot of people that accept part of it, but for whatever reason, they can't accept it all. I was talking to a lady a few weeks ago, and she's one of those that believes part of it. And I asked her, I said, well, do you believe the Lord wrote the part you believe? She says, yeah. I said, so then you think he would let somebody else write the rest of it? But see, when we do that, when we give these responses and we speak to people about it, we can't be condescending. We can't be self-righteous. We just seen what Jesus said. We need to do it in love. We need to do it with kindness. We need to do it with compassion. Otherwise, we need to be quiet. Because if we go in there like a herd of bulls, they're going to become defensive and we will not be able to do anything. So everything that we do for the Lord, even when we're doing things that help us to keep from compromising, we have to do it with love and compassion. Amen. And then Acts chapter 5 verse 4 puts it like this. When we place our desires and that of others ahead of the word of God, then we're compromising. But if we put God first in our life 100%, as best we can, then we will not compromise. But again, it's when we become worried about hurting a feeling. I would rather hurt your feelings and at some point see you accept Christ than pacify you in fear of hurting your feelings and come to find out you wound up in hell. But again, it's how we do it. If we let the Lord give us the words, He'll give us the words in loving and compassionate ways. Amen. God is glorified when we refuse to compromise. And the Bible, oh man, the Bible is full of men and women who refuse to compromise their belief in God, refuse to compromise His word. And one of those that come to mind is Daniel. You know, Daniel refused to bow down and worship a false idol. He knew the first commandment, thou shalt not worship any other god than God. And he knew what could happen if he did, if he refused to bow down. And so some of the people that didn't like him, they conspired, and sure enough, they went to the king and said, Daniel won't bow down to your idol. And so they throw him in a lion's den. What'd the Lord do? The Lord sent his angel and protected Daniel. And you could tell the king didn't want to throw him in there, because that morning, he didn't sleep all night. That morning, he goes running down to the lion's den. Daniel, Daniel, can you hear me? And Daniel comes out and not a scratch on him. So the Lord is glorified and God is glorified because Daniel did not compromise. And what kept him from not compromising was his faith and his trust and his willingness to let God be in control. Whatever happened, happens. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the same book of the Bible shows us the same thing. They wouldn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And so some people that didn't like him, they conspired, and sure enough, they go and tell the king they won't bow down when the music plays. And so he has them brought to him, the king does. He gives them one more opportunity to bow down, and they refuse. And they basically say, do whatever you want to us, but we're not going to bow down. So he has them bound and thrown in the fire. And he looks in the fire, and what does he see? He sees an image that looks like the Son of God. And those he has those boys brought out, and there's not one hair singed. They don't even smell like smoke. And so what did that do? It glorified God. In fact, the king says, from this day forward, we will all worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So their refusal to compromise glorified God. And when we refuse to compromise, it glorifies God. And then last week we talked about Stephen, right? We talked about how angry he became that these Philistines were sitting there and blaspheming his Jesus, and they had put him to death, and he finally had enough of it, and he shouts at him, you stiff necks. He knew what was fixing to happen, but he would not compromise, and he got tired of hearing these lies. And the fact that they killed his Lord became too much. And so he stands up to him, and he would not compromise. And what did they do? They stoned him to death. He died. He gave up his life in refusing to compromise his belief in the Lord. And then we have Paul, who was there when Stephen was stoned. And he refused to compromise. He was thrown in prison. He was beaten. He was tortured. But through all of this, he refused to compromise. And then they beheaded him. So he too lost his life. But he may have lost his earthly life, but he gained his eternal life. I'd much rather not compromise and lose my earthly life and gain my eternal life. And then finally, we come to the greatest example of not compromising, and that is the Son of Man. He refused to compromise. If we remember, right before his arrest, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked the Father, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. And God did not answer him, and so he asked him again, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. And then he asked him the same thing a third time. He didn't get a response, and he knew that it was the Father's will that he go forward with what the Father had called him to do. And so what did that cost the Son of Man? It caused him to be hung on a tree and crucified. But could you imagine where we would be today if he had compromised? If he had changed his mind and said, nope, I ain't going to do it. It's just too much. If the Son of Man had compromised, we'd all be lost. We would all be condemned to eternal death instead of eternal life. Amen. And so what a perfect example Jesus is when it comes to compromise. And then just real quickly, I want to tell you about a thing that was in the news last week. On January 21st in Nicaragua, there was a pastor who had been taken hostage a couple days before the 21st. And they put him in front of a camera and they gave him a paper to read, a ransom note, told him to read it. And then if the ransom was paid, him and the others would be let go. He looks at this letter, and in the letter, part of what he had to do to be released was denounce his Christianity. And so his words were to that camera was, I do not fear death because I know Jesus is still alive. And that moment they put him to his knees and they beheaded him. It was all over YouTube until YouTube was able to take it down. In Nicaragua, there's over 1,000 people a year that are martyred for their belief in Jesus Christ. They refuse to compromise. We live in a world or a country where our beliefs, there's very little chance that we are going to be martyred for our beliefs. Right now, that might all change here in a little while. But right now, we're pretty safe in being able to speak openly about our beliefs. But yet, so many times we compromise. All because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or it may make somebody uncomfortable. It might make us uncomfortable. Friend, if you're uncomfortable admitting that you're a child of God, remember what Jesus said. If you're offended by me in this world, then I will be offended by you to the Father. And I paraphrase that because I can't remember the scripture exactly. Can you help me out, Lisa? Oh, I know what it is. If you're ashamed of me, here on earth or in the world, then I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father. Don't be ashamed. In fact, count it a blessing that we have this opportunity. And we are given the opportunity to serve the Lord. Think about this, and I talked about it last week, but I just can't get it out of my mind. We're blessed that God even wants to use us, that he's given us the opportunity to be part of this amazing thing. Don't shy away from it. Embrace it. Seek it. Ask God, use me for anything. But before you say it, make sure you mean it. Amen? Because there is nothing in this world or that this world can do to you that God cannot protect you from. God will never send you into battle before he gives you the tools and the teachings to win the battle. Have faith and trust in him. Amen? So in closing, let's remember this. Even if we compromise on something small and insignificant, it will still end up damaging other aspects of our lives. It weakens our integrity and our character. It hurts our witness for Jesus and corrupts our thought process. In the end, it hinders our relationship with God. Compromise is like a poison. A little bit may not hurt us, but as it builds up over time, it will more than likely kill us. That little compromise may not have much of effect, but if you don't, as Barney Fife used to say, nip it in the bud, it will become like a snowball rolling down a hill till it gets to the point that you no longer have any control over it. When we compromise, it tends to have a snowball effect. Praise the Lord that we have been given the power and the tools to overcome the flesh. The flesh's desire to compromise by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, we just pray that you remind us each day what compromise can cost. What it can cost to us, what it can cost to our neighbors, but more importantly, what it can do to our relationship with you, Father. Father, let nothing come into our lives that will hinder our relationship with you. Father, let us walk in your light boldly, proclaiming the gospel, but proclaiming it in love and kindness, Father, give us a defense in why we believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and why we believe you raised him from the dead, and why we believe that we have eternal life. Father, open our eyes to this decaying world and give us the desire to do your will, and give us the desire to be used in your plan for this world and your plan of salvation. And for this, we'll be sure to give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good, and all the time, amen and amen.